You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. Well, what is up, Restoration Home Churches? So good to be with you as always once again. And if you're watching or listening maybe later in the week or you're watching on Facebook Live, awesome to have you with us again. My name's Justin, if we haven't met, and we're going to do what we have been doing. That's jumping right into the text for today, which is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So grab your Bible or your app or just follow along on the screen. Whatever it may be, let's read this together as a family. Here's what it says, Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We need to talk about the Bible. We need to talk about the way we read it, the way we use it, and the way that you and I sometimes, whether we realize it or not, can get it really wrong. And it reminds me of this story in John chapter 5. At the beginning of the story, Jesus heals this man who's been disabled for 38 years. I can't imagine being at this scene of the astonishment and the wonder and the awe of seeing a miracle like that right in front of your eyes. And yet, there was a problem. Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. And according to Jewish law, if you work on the Sabbath, then that's violating God's commands. And according to at least the religious leaders of the time, they interpreted this as Jesus breaking God's Sabbath commands. And so verse 18 tells us in chapter 5 that they go off and begin to plot to kill Jesus. Not just because he broke the Sabbath in their eyes, but because he's speaking of God as his father, which means he's equal with God, which according to them, that's blasphemous. So the rest of John 5 is this conversation back and forth about authority. Why Jesus would have authority to speak the things he's saying and to do the things he's doing. And Jesus is telling these leaders that I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. He's only joining the Father's work in the world. And as they continue to go on, towards the end of the story, he makes a statement to them that is so profound, not only for them and their time, but for us here in our time as well. So look with me in John 5, verses 39. He says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." You see, these religious leaders have an idea about the scriptures, about the Bible, that a lot of people still have today, and that's that the more I know the Bible, the more I study the Bible, the more I memorize the Bible, the deeper and more profound and correct my theology and my doctrine is, the more pleasing I am to God. This is part of the culture. In fact, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, by 12 years old, would have had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, memorized. That's almost 80,000 words memorized by 12 years old. These people knew their scriptures backwards and forwards. And yet, the one to whom the scriptures had testified was standing right in front of them, and they could not see him. You see, the hard truth then and now is that we can know our Bibles backwards and forwards and completely miss Jesus. It was true for the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and it's true for us. If we treat the Bible like a textbook to be mastered or like a rule book to be followed, no matter how diligent we are in our study and how passionate we are about the Bible, we will always miss the point. You see, the Bible primarily is a story, a true story. And you might ask, well, what's this story about? Well, it's the story of everything. I love how N.T. Wright, one of my favorite scholars, puts it. He says, the whole point of Christianity is that it offers a story which is the story of the whole world. It is public truth. So for those who have put their faith in Jesus, it's not just about believing the right things about God, That's important, yes, but it's also about how we come to see God's story. To be Christian is to live our story in light of God's big story, which means, just like we talked about last week, that we need to continuously soak in the story of God so that our lives can be reoriented around the person and the work of Jesus. But in this, there is a massively, massively important point that seems obvious, but we can often miss. And that is, as we seek Jesus in the scriptures, we need to remember that this Jesus is risen from the dead. My friends, he's alive. He is reigning and ruling over all of creation. And best of all, he is alive, believers in us. So as we engage the scriptures, we're not just reading about Jesus, we're reading with Jesus. He's called the author and the perfecter of our faith because he's still active and at work in his story to transform our stories from the inside out. And this is really the heart behind what we read earlier in Hebrews 4 when it says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know what makes the Bible so unique and so central to our faith? It's not just what we can know about it, and that's important, but it's who we get to know through it. I mean, think about it. The Word of God is only living and active because the God who speaks this Word is living and active in and around us and through us, using His story to transform our story. There's always a danger of reading the Bible as if Jesus is in the grave. And you may think, nah, that's what non-Christians do. No, Christians are so often guilty of reading the Bible as if Jesus is still in the grave. And what it looks like is it looks like a set of facts about God that we're supposed to believe and mentally assent to and then just go about our business in our everyday American life. It produces just a cold, dead doctrine. It's a form of godliness that denies its power. Restoration, my friends, the Word of God, without the Spirit of the living God, is just dead religion. It's doing nothing to us. We have to make the choice of entering God's story with the storyteller himself. Eugene Peterson describes this in his book called Eat This Book so brilliantly. He says, we enter this story following the story-making, storytelling Jesus, and spend the rest of our lives exploring the amazing and exquisite details, the words and sentences that go into the making of the story of our creation, salvation, and life of blessing. Now, as we talk about studying the Bible, there is so much I wish we had time for that we don't in a video like this. Things like cultural background and context and language, and we're going to link a bunch of resources for you to take next steps in learning how to study the scriptures well on the Home Church Guide. Highly encourage you to do that. But for the sake of time today, I'm just going to give you two encouragements for soaking in the story of God to close. The first is this, is that we need to read the Bible relationally. Here's what I mean by that. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that literally inspired the words of the scriptures we're reading, is in us. So as we open the scriptures, the very first thing we should do as the Bible opens up is we should invite the Holy Spirit, the author, to speak, to lead, to challenge, to form us into the person we are called to be. And not only should we read the Bible with God, but we should read the Bible with other believers. The Bible is a communal book. It's meant to be read together with other believers, to be wrestled with together, to form and shape us together as God's family. So we should read the Bible relationally, but secondly, we should read the Bible formationally. Here's what I mean by that. You see, we as Westerners, we are taught that information equals transformation. Knowledge is power. So we bring that mindset into our spiritual lives and we just stuff our brains with Bible studies and things and all sorts of information, good information about God, and expect that if we just intake all this good stuff about God, that eventually it will change us. And if you've been around following Jesus any amount of time, you know that that just isn't true. The Bible is given not just to inform us, it's given to form us to be like Jesus. It's the heart behind this incredible verse that we've heard so many times, Romans 12:2, that says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Left on our own, we will always slide back into patterns and stories within this world that are counter-discipling us, counter-forming us out of our Christian identity. And so as we continue moving forward as followers of Jesus, soaking in his story, we come to see the world very differently. So as the politician or the pundit says we should hate our opponent and our enemy, we remember that our story says that we love our neighbor and we love our enemy. Or as the culture tells us a story that says that everything we have, we should hoard to ourselves. Our story says that we should be generous, that our stuff is able to be given away because God is a God of abundance. Or maybe when our family background is filled with rejection or abuse and neglect, broken relationships, we remember that our story, the story of God, says that we belong as sons and daughters of God. We must continually allow the story of God to be the filter through which we see the world and not the competing stories that we are constantly surrounded by. So this week, home churches, I want to encourage you both as individuals and as you gather together to not just read the Bible, but let the Bible read you. This week, take a moment, and as you read the scriptures, as you look at them, open them up and invite the Spirit of God to speak. Don't just read to get information. Read to meet the living God who is alive and active, longing to change you, longing to form you to be a person of faith and hope and love. So you're going to find questions and resources and everything you need at restorationlex.com/this week. You can give there. Thank you for your generosity, kids resources, everything you can find there at restorationlex.com/this week. Well, next week, my friends, we begin our journey through the scriptures through our Restored series. And I am pumped. Listen, there's going to be a daily scripture reading guide so we can encounter the Lord of the scriptures and right there with us together as we walk through it. We're gonna have lots and lots of resources moving forward for our home churches and for individuals. So I encourage you to go on the home church guide, get everything you need as we begin this journey next Sunday in Genesis 2. I am so pumped about what God is going to do as we open the scriptures and allow him to form us by the story of God. I love you guys so, so much. And I can't wait till next week. We'll talk to you throughout the week. I'm praying for you as God does amazing things in our home churches and in our lives as we go about the everyday stuff of our lives. I love you. We will see you back in this space next week.